بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على شرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد.
Now what I want to say to you is this very simple. Many times people tell you to try to work on your weaknesses, right? People say overcome your weaknesses, try to overcome your weaknesses, work on your weaknesses. You must have heard this, right? My advice is, forget about weaknesses, leverage your assets. Now, if your weakness is something which is, harmful or something, obviously work on it. I'm not saying don't do that. But generally speaking, leveraging your assets is far more beneficial and far better than trying to improve on your weaknesses. For example, two possibilities. One is writing, one is public speaking. So you might say, well, you know, I'm not a very great public speaker, so I must work on it. I join Toastmasters, I do this, I do that, and so on and so on. But my asset is I can write very clearly, profusely, I can prolific writing. Now, where is the maximum leverage? In the writing. So now you do, if you are a good writer, so write. Put that on the net, your reach will be far more than trying to become a great public speaker. I'm not saying don't try that. By all means, improve your skills. Nothing wrong with that. But focus on the asset for two reasons. Firstly, if you focus on the asset, it will overcome the liability. Number one. Number two, the asset is already a strength. It is something you enjoy doing. It is something you do, you're doing right. It will be easier for you to work on that rather than working on a weakness, which is a painful thing. So instead of going there, work on the asset. The asset will overcome the weakness. Right? So leverage assets. Don't worry about weaknesses. But as I said, in addition to that, if you also want to work on the weaknesses, by all means, no problem. But in terms of leverage in life, it is much easier, much better, much more powerful to work on the asset rather than to try to strengthen the weak area. Then set extraordinary goals. Why extraordinary? Because good enough never is. The biggest and most dangerous thing in the world, I call it the C word. And that C word is compromise. Right? With regard to quality, compromise. Never ever compromise. If you compromise, you're finished. Set a standard and do whatever it takes to reach that standard. Many times in the name of brotherhood, in the name of, you know, loving each other and so on, we put up with substandard work. One of the areas where we do a lot of substandard work is in the area of volunteering. Right? Masjid work, NGOs work, charity work. And then people say, oh, you know what? I've got a full-time job. I'm not getting a salary for this thing. I'm coming and doing this anyway. Excuse me. If you are doing a lousy job, it's a lousy job. I don't care whether you're getting paid for it or you're not getting paid for it. It's still a lousy job. So if you cannot do that job to the best of your ability, please don't volunteer. Go do whatever you're doing. Leave it alone for someone who can do a good job. Because at the end of the day, if you have to get across a 10-foot pit and you jump 9.5 feet, you are in the pit. You can't say, well, you know, I jumped 9.5 feet. Yeah, big deal. You are still in the pit. So what's the point, right? If you can't jump 10 feet and 1 inch, you are in the pit. But we hear it all the time. We hear it all the time. You have programs you have stuff doing which are done badly. And then you tell, oh, my brother, you know what? Everybody is a volunteer. Nobody is getting paid. La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. What does that mean? If you are volunteering for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are doing a lousy job. You should be doing a job much better than if you are getting paid for it. Because you are doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In India, once I was called, they asked me to come and inaugurate they started an organization, you know, IT professionals had started an organization, all the information technology guys. So I was invited to give the keynote address, and the time on that thing was 10:30 a.m. So I turn up there at 10:15, and there is nobody there. Absolutely nobody. So I went and sat, and I'm waiting. And now it's 10:30. Then about 10:45, somebody comes and he says, "Oh my God, Sheikh, you are here." I said, "What do you mean? You sent me an invitation saying program starts at 10:30. You come at 10:45 and you are surprised that I'm here? I mean, what's that?" So anyway, I kept quiet. Around 11:15 or so, the thing got started. Then there was some inaugural address, this, that. When my turn came, I said to them, and also, there was a screen. Unlike this screen, it was too small for the gathering. Unlike this screen, that screen had, from the marks on it, some were of mango pickle. Some were unidentifiable. I don't want to guess what it probably was. Right? So it was a dirty screen with all kinds of marks on it. Now it so happened that these were all IT professionals. Now most of those companies are clients of mine. So I have seen those guys in their workplace. I've seen them in Dell. I've seen them in GE. I've seen them in IBM. I've seen them in Microsoft and so on. So I asked them, I said, if this was a GE program, if this was a Microsoft program, would you have done it at the same standard that you are doing this one? Would this screen look like that? Would you turn up at 10:45 for something which was supposed to start at 10:30? And I said, if you did, what do you think would happen? I mean, they were honest. They said, then we would be shown the door. Right? We would say, get out. So I said, what happened here? Because it's Allah? Because you are Muslim? You want to set a Muslim standard? You know, it is so shameful. We even joke about this. It's nothing funny, believe me. We say Muslim time, Arab time. What is that? What is Arab time? You want to insult people? What is Arab time? What is Muslim time? Time is time, right? 9 o'clock means 9 o'clock. 4 o'clock means 4 o'clock. There's no Arab time and Pakistani time or something. No. We even joke about that. We have normalized bad standards to the extent that we even find it funny. I do not find it funny. For me, time is time, period. It is valuable for me. I know what it means to me. I do not accept that somebody will come late. I don't care what the reason is. There's nothing kind about that. That is the reason why you have bad standards, because you accept bad standards. So my submission to you is never accept bad standards. I don't care. You are a volunteer. Stop volunteering. Please don't volunteer. Go home. But if you are volunteering, then I expect you to do a job even better than if you were getting paid for it, because you are doing it for Allah. If you are doing it for Allah, do it for Allah. No compromise in standard. This is the whole issue of why we are the way we are. I work with corporate organizations, with American corporate organizations, all the time. I've been working for 35 years. Believe me, there is zero tolerance. Absolutely zero tolerance. I mean, you got some corporate people, you got the Dastagi standing there, ask him. Absolute zero tolerance. You do something wrong, they'll tell you to your face directly. You are offended, big deal, go be offended. Who cares? That is why they have standards. That is why they have quality. Right? GE, for example, works on Six Sigma. Now they've gone beyond that, but Six Sigma. What is Six Sigma? 99% good. If I told you that my organization, my product is 99% good, would you say it is good or bad? 99% good. Good or bad? It's good, right? 99% good is 10,000 mistakes per million. Six Sigma is 3.4 mistakes per million. Now, GE aircraft engines, the engines that go on the Airbus aircraft and on some of the Boeing aircrafts. When you are 35,000 feet in the air, Do you want to be on an engine which is 99% good? 10,000 mistakes per million? No. You don't want to be there. Zero tolerance. That is the key. There's a funny story. The guy who invented Six Sigma is a chap called Michael Harry. So Michael Harry says, he used to work for Motorola. So Michael Harry's statement, he says, if you want to see what people value, see what they measure. He said, if you want to see what people value, see what they measure. So the story of Motorola is, they used to make these pagers, Motorola pagers, right? So Motorola decided to outsource the pager business, manufacturing business to a Japanese company. So I heard this story from Motorola people in Motorola University in Chicago. So they were saying that we outsourced this. So he said, now we called them for a meeting to explain to them Six Sigma, which is 3.4 mistakes per million. And we explained to them the whole thing. And he said, you know, the Japanese people, we are speaking English, American, and so on and so forth. So I don't know how much it went into them. But anyway, we did our best to convince them that, look, we are not going to tolerate any mistakes. This is what our standard is, Six Sigma, 3.4 mistakes per million. They understood, they bowed, and so on and so went away. He said, then the first shipment came. So the first shipment, 10,000 pagers, he said, we got a big box and we got a small box. So they said, what is this big box and what is the small box? So they opened the box. It's a big box of 10,000 pagers and there's a small box. So they called them and said, what is this? They said, no, you said you wanted 3.4 mistakes. So we have made 3.4 which are faulty, but 10,000 are good. He said, you wanted 3.4 mistakes per million. We make no mistakes per million. Huh? That is the meaning of quality. No compromise. So if you are doing work for the masjid, you're doing work, whoever you're doing the work for, I don't care who it is. If you are, my work must be my signature. In 1993, I was leaving the plantations. I worked for 10 years in the plantations, tea, coffee, cardamom, rubber, and so on. I was in South India, I would leave the plantation. So we were going back home and we wanted to make some furniture. So you get very good teak, very good quality teak wood in that area, in South India. So we bought a whole teak log, we got it sawn and so on and so forth. Then we got these carpenters in Kerala who were very, very skilled carpenters, beautiful work. So we got these carpenters, and this master carpenter and his assistant. And I said to them, I want you to make a dining table and 6 chairs. And so I will buy all the material for you and you can make it. So in the list of material, he gave me 6 grades of sandpaper. 6 different grades of sandpaper. So I looked at this thing and I am thinking to myself, I am paying this guy on a daily basis. Now he's going to sit with 6 grades of sandpaper and he's going to be sitting there just, you know, rubbing that table and I'm paying for it. So I told him, why do you need 6 different grades of sandpaper? Now that guy was short on patience. He tells me, you get me what I told you, otherwise go find somebody else. So I said, what kind of thing is that? I'm asking you a question, you know. He said, no. Then he realized, you know, he tells me, see, he told me this in Malayalam, but you don't understand Malayalam, so I'm translating for you. In Malayalam, it sounds even better. Anyway, he tells me, when somebody sees this table, I want them to ask you, wow, who made this table? I don't want them to say, hey, who made this table? Aare cheythathu angane chodikkanam yaare cheythathu angane chodyam padla. He said, I'm not working for you for the money you are giving me. It is my work. Your money you are giving, you have to pay me. That's a different thing. This is my work. This is my signature. This is my face. When somebody sees this table, that person must ask you, wow, who made this thing? They must not say, who made this thing? This is the meaning of quality. Right? So set extraordinary goals. Challenge yourself. It doesn't matter whether the world is satisfied or not. You will find in life, if you do whatever you do, even if you do it reasonably well, to a certain extent, most people are satisfied. Even if they are not satisfied, they will never tell you about it. It's okay. You will still get your salary, whatnot, whatnot. But you will not make any difference to anybody in life. What's the point of living like that? There's no sense. So put, if you are doing something, my point with myself, it's very simple. I'm the one who decides what I want to do. Nobody is forcing me. So if I really don't want to do something, if I have really no interest in that, I won't do it, period. But if I choose to do something, then I will put my mind and my heart and my soul and my back and everything into it to ensure that I do it to the absolute best that I know. You don't even know that. It doesn't matter. I know. I must know and I must be satisfied in my mind that I did the absolute best in this case. I don't care who is in front of me, whether it is, you know, big people, small people, rich people, poor people, which people, what people, makes no difference. I am doing something, I am doing it for my satisfaction to the best that I know. I may still make a mistake, I don't doubt that, I am not perfect. But that will be a mistake. It will not be because I did not try hard enough. It will not be because I just took it easy, no. It will be a mistake. I did my best, but that's how it happened. Okay, so I will correct that. I'm happy somebody corrects me. I'm fine with that. But I will never say that I am doing this thing, but you know what? These people should be grateful. After all, I'm doing it for free. No way. Do it to the best that you can do. You want to do it, don't do it, no problem. But if you are doing it, make sure that your conscience is satisfied. And that's why you say, set extraordinary goals, because extraordinary goals inspire extraordinary effort. Nobody rises to low expectations. People rise to high expectations. What's the definition of extraordinary goal? Something that you have no idea how it happens. Keeps you awake at night. Scares the daylights out of you. And that is how you will succeed. That is how your inspiration will come. That's how you will think out of the box. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.